Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as you know, I did put a news alert out there talking about Maroon 5's supposed kneeling during the Super Bowl halftime, and I warned that I was not going to watch it, and if you felt, if anything, like, and I'm just saying, and I said this during the news alert that I didn't care if you watched it, it's what you wanted, and but I wasn't going to watch it. Later, after the Super Bowl, I did watch the halftime. They did not do what I thought they were planning to do, which was kneel, which was great for it. But my overall opinion of the Super Bowl halftime show, it was bad. It was just bad, and it was never good. It didn't have the energy. It didn't have any of the great music talent. Maroon 5, he's not the best, but yeah, he's not the best. He's not bad, but again, we could still have better musicians playing. But overall, the Super Bowl, it was interesting until like the fourth quarter. Then it just became a blowout for the Patriots. So then I left it right then and there. But we're going to move back right into the news. And the very first article we have is... The very first article we have is Trump downplays Mueller probe. Won't commit to making report public. And yeah, this was reported by Trump. So what I've always said is, because I've said this before, why has Mueller not released it so often? Because he said before that it was almost done. They released it first. It wasn't complete. It was just, it didn't provide any evidence. And then months later, they said, oh, now we have enough evidence to put out the report. And they're still not doing it. This is just what I've always said. This is just shows that the report itself is not getting any evidence against Trump. It's not gaining any points. It's just showing that this is becoming more and more political than before. Because people might say, well, if it takes longer, it means it's not going to be like, you would say, have any evidence. Yes, but it also kind of means that they're not reporting it and just getting it out there. Which makes a suspicion that they are in fact doing this as a political, for political motivation. Instead of actually doing their job. And as you know, I've pointed out before that there are over 13 Democratic donors on the board in a special council. So this does provoke the suspicion. And I do think that the Mueller probe is just, it's not getting anywhere. We've spent over $10 million on it. It hasn't gotten anywhere. It went like, it had one point where it actually looked like it was going to get somewhere. And I think that was when the very first article came out about the Don Jr. and Donald Trump Russian meeting. And they found like video of some kind, but they didn't find the actual meeting. And that was like their one point where they actually advanced. Now it's just them kind of sitting there hoping that there's something out there. Because other than the arrest of a Russian diplomat, I think, about over a month ago, that there's nothing really that's happened significantly other than fake news stories such as BuzzFeed. And the bigger story, which came from CNN, in fact, which was about that only Don Jr. might have been there, which would have also eliminated a major point of the Trump presidency, the Trump presidency scandal of the Russian probe. So we're going to actually see what Donald Trump has said about this situation. So Donald Trump has said that retaining his stance that the Mueller report investigation was a witch hunt, Trump said that the majority of people charged so far in his investigation were bloggers from Moscow and people who got a fit. Quote, of the 34 people, many of them were bloggers from Moscow, were people that had done nothing to do with me and had nothing to do with it, with that they are talking about or there, where people had got caught telling a fib or telling a lie, Trump said in an interview in CBS. I think it's a terrible thing that it has happened in our country because this shows that the investigation is a witch hunt. If you saw that I kind of phrase sometimes, I had to improve the audio of President Trump because it was just sometimes, it wasn't like unreadable, but it was definitely more complicated than what I would be. Well, not complicated in a sense, but more of like, it wasn't very rightly placed. Like the words were not, so I kind of put some words in there to make it sound at least a little bit better. But again, Trump's virtually saying, this is proving my point. This is a witch hunt. He's right. And you may think, but Sam, you're a pro-Trumpist. You would always believe that it's right. No, I don't always believe sometimes it's right. I, before in the Syrian move, believed that it was right at first until I looked up some other points from liberals and conservatives. But Trump is absolutely right. Look at this. Roger Stone, aide to President Trump. Paul Manafort, former campaign manager for Trump. Michael Cohen, aide to President Trump. So many of these people are either just Russian diplomats that aren't even involved, or they're just Trump advisors. And it's just proving the point. It's like there's nothing else to it. It is just proving the point of Trump. And I think Trump is going to be right in the end. I think this whole investigation is going to come to an end. Mueller might find some more circumstantial evidence, but he's not going to find a definitive smoking gun, you would say, in the entire investigation. But as I've always said, we have to still wait until the report comes out and see what it says about the Russian collusion. But we do not really have much of anything else on the Russian investigation. The Russian investigation, as you know, has been a big part of our news stories, or at least for many of our news stories. I try not to, you would say, I try not to put them as much in my stories because I feel like it makes the podcast less interesting because I'm constantly talking about the same thing. But instead, I had to report this due to the severity of the situation. Sorry if I keep stopping. I'm kind of having to find an article as I'm looking. But again, the severity of the situation right now with the Roger Stone and the FBI possibly moving on InfoWars. And this is what I heard. If you've never heard, the FBI haven't in fact heard, or at least rumors of, that they might move on InfoWars more because Roger Stone obviously appeared on InfoWars, as I've told guys in many podcasts. But we're going to move on to that too. Tragedy in Texas. Border Patrol agent killed while on duty, officials say. So the Fox News article made by Nicole Dara states that a U.S. Customs and Border Protection agent died while working in Texas on Saturday, officials said. Agent Donna Ross, 49, was helping state police near Interstate 20 in Alba just before 9 p.m., the agency said in the news release. While she assisted Doss was struck and killed by a passing vehicle and died on the scene. And so, it sounds like maybe not really a gang attack, but definitely something that involves either gangs or just overall violent groups. And this kind of relates to the article of, if you know about when Trump called the MS-13, and this might be a little bit out there, but I just want to bring this up. Trump attacked MS-13. And called them animals. And the media went crazy saying that he was being a racist by saying that they were animals. They are literally a mob. They are literally a gang. They are almost a terrorist group. They are almost literally, as I said, a terrorist group. Why would be calling one of the most feared gangs in all of North America be a racist thing? It's like when they called countries that, like Haiti, that had such poor income, or in countries such as Africa, which were dealing with heavy civil wars and famine and droughts, as whole countries. Because what? This is the same, and this is what I've always said. If liberals love not using the cult countries that are actually S-holes, then why don't you go live in Haiti? It's like, but they would be like, nah, I don't really want to live in Haiti. It doesn't have much. And then it's like, you're virtually proving the point of Trump. But we are going to instead move back from MS-13 because we know MS-13's reputation. And so this article is not very long, according to at least the statement. It states that, quote, Agent Doss died while performing her duty protecting the community in the United States Del Rio, their acting chief border agent, Matthew Huddock, said, our heart, prayers, and support go out to Ridge. Agent Doss and the family in time of need. So yeah, and people want to constantly attack ICE and attack Border Patrol as monsters because their job isn't as bad as it seems. When in real life, they're dealing with gangs like this attacking them probably at least every day. Every Border Patrol agent has to be fearful for their life because they're not just dealing with people coming from other countries immigrating. They're dealing with gangs, drug cartels, and other violent groups that are threatening their lives and possibly even their families if they live in the certain area. But as I said, there's not much else to the article other than the statement. So they will, in fact, be probably investigating. I might update it on a later you would say podcast if there's any more information, but I'm guessing that it won't really happen since this doesn't seem like a big case other than in Fox News. So, as I said, we might update, but not for now. So, we're going to move on to the very next article, which comes from CNN. And I'd just like to say, out there, the thing about the mainstream media and free media, there's a difference between, you would say, free media and a media that has negative coverage of a certain person. Because this is the constant point of the mainstream media. They want to say that they're being attacked by Trump because he doesn't get any coverage. So they're trying to say, but this is suppressing freedom. This is like Hitler during the media times, that they would only depict them as good people. Well, why is it that over 93% of coverage done by CNN on Trump is negative? It's like there was only like one instance where they actually reported something positive, which was like a job growth. That was like one of the only times they ever reported something that was positive about Trump. And then there's like this NYT, I think, editor or something like that. He attacked Trump saying that he was like suppressing the free vote. It's like he's not suppressing it. He's trying to make it actual. Because the only news network that actually shows anything is Fox News. And I don't watch Fox News, CNN, or anything. I only like look at articles, as you know, just to find information. I don't really watch them in a sense or believe any of them. I just hear their argument and then investigate it. Because that's what, at least in my view, of a political journalist should do. They should view the article from the mainstream media's point, then they should investigate it, and then find out if there's any information. But again, overall, it's like, it really is. It really is that the entire leftist media, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, CNN, MSNBC, and others, they all continue to constantly say, well, we're not attacking President Trump because we are against him. We're only attacking him because there's negative coverage or does negative things. Well, what about his tax returns? You attacked him for his tax returns for so long that it was like, and Rachel Maddow, in fact, committed a crime by getting a partial part of his tax returns, which was actually a crime under federal law, but she was never charged with anything due to her probable status. Because Rachel Maddow virtually can get away with so many things because she's such a heavy leftist. And so there's this also a man, I don't remember what his name is. I think he's leaving because I constantly see his ads. It's always like impeach Trump. And then he's trying to put the point of fighting for the Americans. But then when you research him up, in real life, he's just the guy, a billionaire, who's a leftist activist. It's like, wow, the left is fighting the rich while they have one billionaire fighting for them. It's like, that's all that proves to me is like, once again, as what we conservatives can't use against the left, that they're hypocrites. They constantly do certain things and then they attack the Republicans. When we make a bad tweet, they constantly attack us. But when a leftist makes a tweet, they can quickly delete it without any news on it. If you notice about certain Republican tweets, they are so heavily reported. It's like Twitter and all of the new mainstream media. They constantly watch all of these tweets like they're like hawks. But then when a Democratic senator like Alamar, when she attacked, put an anti-Israeli comment, she could quickly just delete it before anyone else. And so it's just overall, it's such a horrible thing to see in the American system that virtually everything's going against conservatives. And this might be not true, at least from your point of view. You might say, no, the world's not against conservatives. It's just conservatives are more attacked. Well, why is it that we are suppressed so often by the media, the platforms, and by Antifa and other groups like that? That is the reason why I've always believed that the conservatives are now probably in one of the most desperate moments of political history, because they really are being attacked from every single point of view. They have barely any views. They have any kind of advantage on the Democrats other than more people being interested in hearing their message. But we're not going to stay on this, because that was more of just, it was more of just a little bit of saying about what at least I think of what is happening recently. And so the next article we're going to go into is the discussion by, wait, let me find it. It states what Trump got wrong on Tuesday. So let me find.
Spork underscore wielder said PB.
Sorry, that was something else. I'm sorry for that. Some of my friends are on the Discord, so. Sorry again, but I needed to turn it off because I thought for some reason someone sent that. Sorry, again, I constantly am stopping. I'm very sorry for that, but I'm just trying to get the article, the load, and just get a, and just be able to finally get in. Every week I offer, and this is by Sam Regard, and this note comes from, every week I offer a glimpse of the kind of intelligence assessments that are more likely to come across the desk of the President of the United States in, modeled on President's Daily Briefing, or PDP, which the Director of National Intelligence prepares for the President almost daily. The State of the Union could be an opportunity to begin and to resist U.S. national security intentions for the coming year. On the heels of the community's briefing to Congress on worldwide threats and presidential undercutting of their assessments, incorporating their analysis into a tight set of real threats, which would signal our enemies that the President and his team are actually working together. Trump, in coordination with our allies' response, confronted the Russians for developing banned missiles and violating the intermediate range nuclear forces treaty. And I did forget about the big getting out of the nuclear treaty. And this is the thing. Many, many news sites reported this as a sign of Trump helping Putin. This was not a sign of Trump helping Putin. In fact, it was probably an attack against Putin because Trump was originally saying, we're not going to be in this deal if you're going to take advantage of us. And this is why Trump is such a great diplomat. He doesn't sit there and wait for a little bit more facts. When he gets enough evidence, he leaves immediately. He doesn't wait there. Because that's the thing about Obama. He stood there, waited, and if it was a good leader that he knew before, he might say, eh, we'll let them go off. Eh, it doesn't really matter. But Trump, on the other hand, he doesn't say, well, I like the Saudis. Because the Saudis, he condemned their attack. But Trump, as I pointed out before, because during the Saudi, I think during the Saudi reporter case, I made the point of why would we get out of Saudi Arabia? Because this was a big thing from the left that we should get out of Saudi Arabia and we shouldn't deal with them because of one reporter. Yes, it's a terrible death. But the thing is, for the country itself, why would we risk millions and maybe even billions of dollars in Saudi Arabia and just leave it because of a reporter's death? Yes, it sounds cruel. It sounds cruel beyond a doubt. That's what you might say. But that's just a fact. We couldn't have changed anything. He went in there. He was killed by the crown prince. There's nothing else. There's nothing else we could have done at that point to help him. But I did learn eventually that he was, in fact, not a Muslim extremist, but definitely a Muslim who looked up to more extremists in Islam. So I did suspect, I don't think it was because it was religion, but I think it might have been due at least partially to that history, if the Saudis at least knew, or the Saudi Arabians at least knew that he had that con, if they got the information. But we're going to return back to the article. So yeah, the entire moving out of the Russian deal. I think it was good for America because we were being undercut. And that's what it really is. We were being undercut by Putin. He's always been that trickster, and so Trump said, I'm done. I'm just done. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so he left. And so it also says, it appears that the president is not willing to call out illegal Russian activity when it comes to anything that involves him or our elections directly. If the president wanted to signal Russia that he's changing his true and actively concerning self with the defense of the state of our union, Trump should outline and condemn the assets currently being deployed against us by Putin, including bots, drones, and cyber attacks focused on election infrastructure. And so for her to also say that it's focused on our election infrastructure, yes, the Russians have interfered with our elections. But some people take this as if Russia is the only group. No, the America has interfered with so many elections that we could virtually match up to the Russians. We could literally match up to the Russians. And there's just, and it really, but more often, she's trying to point out that Trump is not condemning it. I've heard Trump condemn it. I do see that Trump doesn't condemn it as much as he should, but but he still condemns it. So she can't. So in my opinion, for her to say that, it wouldn't make much sense because he still condemns it. She makes it more of sound like if he was always talking good stuff about Putin and he never actually did anything about it. When in real life, he didn't meet with him in the G20 summit. He put sanctions on Russia. He put much heavier cybersecurity against the Russian trolls. Trump has been doing all of this since he became president. It's like, and the Democrats, like Maxine Waters, has continued to say that he's the puppet of the Russian regime. But to at least what I've seen, that is not the case. So we're going to move on to our final article of today. The next article comes from Infowars.com. And so the first article comes from France during the riots. French yellow vests march to the police violence, probably gets beaten by riot cops. Police used several weapons against the activists on Saturday, including rubber bullets and flashball weapons. So, if you were to ask me what was my opinion on riots with riot police, I think riot police should defend themselves, but I don't think they should use it so quickly, because if they use it either way too fast when the rioters are not in any kind of way attacking or assaulting them, then it's just going to look like you're committing acts of suppression. But if the group is starting to assault you and threaten your life, then yes, that's when you have to use like rubber bullets, flash, pepper spray, and like that in order to defend yourself. So I do agree. I'm kind of more divided on this. I support the yellow vests in the sense of finally confronting Macron, because I've never supported Emmanuel Macron due to his stance on many issues, including more what I've seen globalist issues, which are trying to unite like most of the countries in like the European Union with everyone else and like and other issues. So the InfoWars article states that 1 week after a yellow vest organizer was handicapped for life by French police, protesters dedicated Saturday's demonstration to denouncing police violence, only to be beaten and gassed by said police. There have been 1,900 protesters and around 1,000 police injured since the movement began in November, and 10 fatalities, including an 80-year-old Martial woman who was killed when a police tear gas canister was launched into her apartment window while she was trying to close the shutters. She was taken to a nearby hospital but died during an operation after suffering shock, according to the local media report. And so many tweets are coming out talking about the French police. And so, yes, for many of what the tweets have said, I do agree with what you would call right, because even though I am a conservative, I do agree that it was unnecessary. I wouldn't condemn it fully, because if the rioters were becoming, as I said, too violent, then the police had a reason. But I still condemn the police for their acts, because I think they took it at least a little bit too far. I think they took it too far, and they should, in fact, suffer for that. And so, yes, the violence in France is I don't know if it's intensifying or it's staying at a certain point. I think overall it's going to take some more months, maybe even another year, depending on what Macron does, for this riot to even get anywhere. But I do believe that this riot is very important, because as I've heard Alex Jones say many times, the nationalist movement is starting to come up. And yeah, the nationalist movement is starting to rise. I've never always agreed with nationalism. I've always looked at nationalists and I've researched their background, because I like nationalism, as you probably know, but I'm not a full nationalist as many other people, as many other political icons are, like President Trump. But again, the French protests are continuing to inflict pain and suffering across France, both economically and physically, to the protesters and police officers. But that is all we have for this. Sorry, but that is all we have for today on the French riots and for our political podcast. And as you know, I hope that you had a great Sunday today. As I said, the Super Bowl wasn't that interesting about to the end of the fourth quarter. Then it was kind of okay, but I was voting for the Rams. In real life, I was a Packers fan, so I was kind of sad. But I was voting for the Rams to win, because I just hated the Patriots because of Tom Brady's cheating ways. which I have researched, if you would say. But that's going to really end it for today. So I thank you for listening. I hope you continue supporting me. We have almost got 300 views, I mean more plays, within almost a month. That is amazing. Not a month, but almost 2 months. That is amazing, guys. I'm just beyond astonished how well this podcast has grown in the past month. And I just, again, thank you guys for the support. And so I hope you have a great rest of your night, and I hope you have a great Monday in the future.